Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. You're listening to Majority Thursday on 670 KBOI. We talk to Republicans about the latest news in the Idaho legislature. Now here are Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
Idaho Talks Live, this is Majority Thursday, and our special guests in studio from the Idaho State Legislature, Representative Kelly Packer and Senator Marv Hagedorn. How are you?
Wonderful. Thanks
Good
for having
morning.
Us.
Let's start out talking about transportation funding. And I'll ask this very complicated question. How will we fund transportation?
You know, we've got this billion-dollar-plus infrastructure that we don't even have. We don't bring enough money in even for maintenance. Mm-hmm. And so we're constantly trying to figure out, without taxing the heck out of everybody, how can we get more dollars on the road? You know, we've got cars now that are getting much better fuel mileage. So that brings in less fuel tax money that we've got.
Good point.
And as those cars get more efficient, we're going to have even less funding. So we've got to get creative in how we take care of the infrastructure. I think there's a bill, and maybe Kelly can talk about that.
You bet. House Bill 157, in fact, just passed out at the House Transportation Committee. You know, I think to Mar's point, and then I'll come back and talk a little bit about that bill, we do need to get creative. But I think that one of the mistakes maybe that we've made in the past is not looking at a long-term sustainable plan. We have in our Constitution wording that says that we do have to use fuel tax and registration strictly for roads, meaning construction, maintenance, traffic safety, etc. But that doesn't mean that that's the only thing that we can use. And for the longest time, that's what's been the held belief, that general funds should not be used. However, and sometimes people say it's because there's not a nexus between our general fund monies and the roads, like there is with fuel tax and or registration. However, that being said, I don't care if you don't own a car, or if you do own a car and don't drive it, mm-hmm. or maybe you don't even own a bike. I get that, but if you use any goods and services in Idaho,
they've been on the road.
They've That's been right. on the roads. You use that infrastructure. And so we really do need to start getting really smart about it, or it's going to make our economy suffer.
Yeah.
You know, it is vital to our success. So that being said, House Bill 157, for the longest time, about 5% of the fees or the funds that we receive from gas tax and registration has gone to ISP, which is that traffic safety piece. Now, it doesn't say that you have to have a certain amount that goes to each of these individual items that are in the Constitution, just that it has to be used only for those things. And so there's been a discussion for a long time to remove that 5% from ISP, let them go into the general fund 100% and federal, and use that additional funding to help us. So that's what we've been trying to do. Prior to this time, you know, it's been a big concern because it was about $13 to $17 million, depending on the revenue brought in from the fuels and registration taxes. But this bill, I think, makes it more palatable because it doesn't start till 2019, gives us some time to plan where are we getting the funds,
phases
maybe some
in.
Growth, et cetera, phase it in. And it takes it away over 5 years, so roughly about $3.2 million per year. So I like it. I did support it send it to the House floor, and I think it's important. Value ISP 100%. Don't get me wrong there, but I think it's important to start looking.
And for the taxpayer, if you think about it, every cent that we bring in on fuel tax, every penny brings in about $8 million a year. So this bill, by phasing this in, will alleviate basically having to raise fuel tax by two pennies.
Well, that's pretty good.
That sounds
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
Now, there's so many. I sat through the ISP thing the other day, and you know, there's inflation, replacement costs. I mean, there's all of these things that are interwoven into a budget.
Right.
That, I mean, you can't just say, we're going to give you this much for this, because, I mean, you go through line items and all this stuff and your head just blows up. There's so much involved.
JFAC is a crazy process.
I don't know how they do it.
All the easy stuff has been done.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting, too, because, you know, one of the arguments that you hear quite often is, well, then they'll compete with education.
Right.
And
yes.
all this. Well, guess what?
Yes.
They should. All things compete with education
right.
and health and welfare. And that's the way it works in Idaho, because we have to balance our budget. And we never know what the revenue is going to really look like. So every year we start over.
Yep.
And you get, we can only dispense what we have. And so everything competes, and that's the way, in my opinion, that it should be.
The revenue looks pretty good right now.
It's great.
It's creeping up. But as we found out not too long ago, boom, that can come to a dead end.
That's
right. You know, what saved us was our rainy day funds.
Exactly.
And we were fortunate that we didn't have any more than that four-year period that we had to sneak through. And so we've got to be cognizant of that and make sure we're putting back into that rainy day fund, because that time is going to come again.
Right.
Does that ever feel like past legislatures maybe just kicked the can down the road when it came to maintenance? Because I've known people for whom maintenance was a big surprise, but usually they were 18 and in their first apartment.
Right.
Yes.
Well, I think the biggest problem is nobody. It's hard to coalesce around any one thing. When you have 105 legislators, getting the majority of both the House and the Senate to agree on one mode or one method is very hard to do.
Kind of get them to agree if the sun's shining or not.
Right. Yeah.
Not all 105.
That's
anyway.
Right.
Even if we're all looking out the window and can see it.
You're standing out in front for the picture.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. KBOI News Time is 8:40.
You're listening to Majority Thursday on 670 KBOI.
It is a Majority Thursday. Our guests in studio this morning in the next idle studio, Senator Marv Hagedorn from District 14. And Representative Kelly Packer from District 28.
That's twice as good as 14.
That's right. I like that. Nice analogy, Chris.
Pretty good. You're from McCammon.
Yes.
What's happening in McCammon?
What's happening in McCammon? A lot of snow.
Yeah. I got enough in New Plymouth. Okay, the budget really dominating right now, all kinds of things, what JFAC's going to pay for you guys, benefits, all this kind of stuff. What else is going to push the budgets off the front page in the next couple of days, as far as the legislature is concerned?
You know, we've got that tax bill kind of hanging out, the tax income tax reduction bill kind of hanging out there. We've got some bills that are coming through, as an example, our health care bill to cover those folks in the gap. I don't think that's going to be that controversial because we're going to be using Millennium funds for that, but that could be an issue. There's going to be some competing things. The increase of 24 parole officers, that's going to be a chunk of money. The increase for I think it's $11.5 million for mental health coverage of individuals coming out of the prison system. I think those are going to be things that are going to be competing with that zero at the end of the budget line to get to that point.
As well as the commitment that's already been made by the legislature to fully fund the career ladder.
Right, exactly.
Which is about $60 million. So.
Yeah, I saw you shaking your head there when you were mentioning that tax breaks and everything. Is there enough money to give Idahoans a tax break?
And right now I think that's why we're kind of holding it in abeyance in the Senate, to make sure that all of the other things that seem to be needed that have been requested for in the budget can get funded, so we can make sure we've got enough money. I think that there is, but we've just got to get there.
You know, that's one of the things I actually debated when we passed that bill in the House. I'll be honest, I voted green, but it was hard for me. Because when we do have infrastructure needs like transportation that have not been met, is that really the wisest thing to do? I'd really rather see us put a line item for that $51 million on the general fund to more closely meet the need that our state is facing. So I did shake my head, and it's because I debated. When I got up and debated, I said, it's time for a more thoughtful approach to this, a more big picture look, instead of just saying, hey, we have a surplus, so let's cut back some. Let's take a bigger look at all of the different items that we receive revenue from, the exemptions to those pieces, and what really needs to be done to meet the needs of our state.
And you did mention the snow in McCammon.
Right.
The snow removal in Boise was huge.
I mean, this winter has not been
big
easy
bill.
On budgets.
Big
it's
bill.
Not at all. Yeah. Sure. And, one thing that we do very well in the legislature is planning 1 year ahead at a time, which I think is a problem.
Yeah.
And a perfect example is we're in the third year of a 5-year plan that we've all agreed to move on for improving our education system. I've always asked, why aren't we in the first year of a 5-year rolling plan?
Amen.
And why don't we have a five-year rolling plan for our transportation system? And why don't we have a five-year rolling plan for our tax reduction?
Amen.
I mean, we need to get the executive branch thinking in this five-year rolling plan thing that the legislature can all kind of get on board with.
Right.
We have a direction.
Right. And they also need to remember that it's usually the good years that will end up hurting you. If you make those cuts right now without that thoughtful plan in place, what happens when it does start sliding backwards, right? I mean, so the plan really needs to look at not overspending or even overcutting just simply because we have a cash flow.
Right.
So
with a lot of these big decisions coming up, how goes the civility right now in the Idaho legislature overall or specifically?
Personally, I feel like it's from the first year I got here, it's not as prevalent as it used to be, in my opinion. I think that we've watched in the national news where that's been a problem in D.C. for a long time. And I think it's starting to trickle into not only our legislature here, but in everyday life, it seems like. And I think it's really sad. In fact, I quoted Samuel Johnson the other day in a House meeting that we had where he said, and I hope I get it right, but basically it's, excuse me, he said, kindness is always possible even when fondness isn't.
Very good.
Of course, you look at the English Parliament and they scream at each other all the time.
Right, yeah.
And jump over tables.
Fisticuffs.
And we've kind of, our culture has kind of moved to everybody needs something to hate.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to have become our focus. Instead of let's put the hate aside and let's look at what we can all agree on and let's move in that direction.
Hate doesn't accomplish much.
It doesn't accomplish anything.
No, and we should actually be embracing different opinions in my humble opinion, because that's how we grow and learn, and that's how we actually get it right more of the times than just having those blinders on and only looking at our belief system, our paradigm, you know.
And I embrace that.
I see. We're going to get along then. We're going to get along.
Yeah, I saw there was a report today that said there were 12 very active hate groups in the state of Idaho. So they've all, of course, chosen something to hate.
Right.
Just like you said.
Yeah.
How sad. Why shouldn't they just pick something to love? Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yeah, but there's probably only three love groups.
Right, yeah.
If
any.
At least one of them you probably don't want to go to.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we've come to the end of this Majority Thursday. It's always good to see you. We've been talking with Representative Kelly Packer from District 28, Senator Marv Hagedorn from District 14. Going to let you get back to work.
Thank you for having us here.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you.
Idaho Talks Live comes up. We have a county commissioner coming in from Ada County at 9:05 this morning.
You know him fairly well. I believe that's going to be Jim Tibbs.
Jim Tibbs will be here.
Mm-hmm.
And we love Jim because he usually brings donuts. Yes, got to remember that kind of stuff.
And District 14 loves Jim as well.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they do. All right, it's 8:56. We'll be back. Oh, we need to talk a little bit more.
Actually, we only have 3 seconds.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Now we'll be back.
About it.
They're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time, 9:06. It's Idaho Talks Live, and our special guest in studio is Ada County Commissioner Jim Tibbs. How are you?
Good.
I feel like the weather's gotten a lot nicer and things are a lot more calm, but I guess the county still is kind of a disaster.
Can we reword that?
Let's do that.
Since you've been in office, the county is a disaster. It's been the last four years.
It's been added to the state disaster declaration. I understand.
That's right. And it's a place of honor, as we'd like to think. Well, You know, and we're in the same boat a lot of counties are and a lot of other government entities that, you know, we've had to spend a lot of money on dealing with the snow and removal and all that stuff that goes along with it. And so hopefully we can get a little financial assistance from the state or from the federal government. And so we are now part of the state's disaster declaration. So kind of a long process, a lot of paperwork, lots of, you know, dot the I's, cross the T's. Right. So working on it.
How does that work with it? We just had a couple of Republican legislators in here, Kelly Packer and Marv Hagedorn, and we were talking about budgets.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about the bad winter and you know, the no funding for roads, et cetera, et cetera. They're going to be gone here in a couple of weeks, 5-6 weeks.
They hope.
They hope, yeah. And,
good point.
So how does that process go along? Won't be in session probably by the time you...
The disaster aspect? Well, it's actually through the governor's office.
And, okay, so and, the legislature's out of the equation.
Yeah, I mean, there's money set aside in the state. The governor is the one that has to declare it. And I don't really think the legislature has that much to do with it. And then the county is kind of the pass-through entity to the state.
Yeah.
For all the cities or anybody else that wants to jump on board. And now the state is going to try to get a presidential emergency declaration. So we'll see how that goes.
And we've got six counties in there, Ada Boundary, Canyon, Custer, Payette, and Washington counties. And essentially the record snowfall depleted all the removal resources.
Right.
Is this going to kind of pay back for that?
Well, hopefully.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at Ada County Highway District, and they spent millions of dollars extra on snow removal. And, you know, where does that money come from? Hopefully it didn't come from the pothole fund, but I'm afraid. It might have.
We have a pothole up where we turn to get onto Shenandoah Drive.
Oh, yeah.
And it gets exponentially larger every day.
Yeah.
Now your whole car can kind of sink down.
That's right.
It's great.
Potholes can turn into sinkholes.
We're looking forward to the swimming pool this summer.
Yeah. So I mean, everybody has suffered from it. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ada County spent over $100,000 just in snow melt, which is usually an extremely minor item in past winters. But I mean, it really hurts the budgets.
And flood control operations are going on right now.
Right. The river level is going to steadily come up. That's a smart move, and start making room for the spring runoff that's going to start yesterday. and so we'll see. People shouldn't be alarmed, and you know, and there's not any threat of flooding yet, but with a lot of rain, heavy snow melt, I mean, a lot of that could change. So, but things are good right now.
Got sandbags left?
Lots of sandbags. Lots of sand, so if anybody needs them, you can pick. I think they allow 10 per person, and that's for the nuisance kind of flooding. If you want to divert the Boise River, you can't use sandbags. You're going to have to use something else.
Seems wise.
A lot of people have been taking advantage of that. We've even loaned some sandbags to other counties. We had some on order, but we're good. I mean, we're good, and they'll pay us back.
Chris and I were talking the other day. When all this is over, what happens to all that sand?
Well,
what are they going to do with it?
I mean, apart from like a neighborhood beach party.
That's right. You can do that. A lot of people they put it in their garden. And,
really?
Yeah, litter box. Who knows? so it's, I mean, there's they find uses for them. And, you know, it's a little something. You have a birthday of your wife coming up, anniversary, a bag of sand.
Convince
can always be useful.
Yeah, convince her that
Valentine's Day was big for me. You know.
Yeah.
Convince her that whatever anniversary you're having, it's the sand anniversary.
The sand anniversary.
Yeah. Yes. Just call it the sandiversary.
That's right.
All right. Let's talk about the legislature. The magistrate courts and judges will finalize their order of no agreement reached by the end of the legislative session. That thing's still hanging out there.
It is, and we're a little bit frustrated. You know, the judge's order is a good order. I mean, they wanted to give the legislature kind of a chance to see if they can resolve this. We proposed some legislation.
Yeah.
We went through Association of Counties, and it's kind of bogged down now, and it kind of gets sidetracked, and different legislators have different ideas of what they'd like to do. We've just kind of been left out there with whatever they decide. The plan right now is that they would like to form a working group of three mayors and three commissioners, not from around here, and to try to hash out the problem. Our desire is to have the legislature make a decision. Our proposed legislation involves giving the court the authority to enforce their order. Right now, they don't have that authority. Very simple. We didn't mess with the funding formula for the cities and county and the court. We wanted to make sure that the judges, the panel of judges in every judicial district, have the ability to determine that they need to have more courtrooms, or they can order cities to pay the county to provide that for them. But they don't have the authority right now. So I hope that something gets done, because the judges are going to take it up again after the legislative session. Don't know what they're going to do, but we would like to get it resolved.
And House Bill 103 is about foregone taxes.
Right.
And taxing districts, of course, we hear this a lot, can raise taxes 3% at a time.
An additional 3%. Right. And it's really a valuable tool for counties, because some commissions may choose not to take it. Some mm-hmm. commissions choose to take it every time. Boise during the recession, they didn't take that extra 3%. Well, that goes into what's called the foregone. It's not money sitting in the bank or anything, but if the county ever needed it for an emergency or for a capital project, they would have the ability to go back.
However, this would mean that once you've said we're not going to do it, then you can't change your mind down the road.
Well, the county could pass a resolution saying, okay, we're going to get rid of it. We'll just eliminate that part of the foregone, and you would never be able to use it, which is bad. What it could do, is force the counties to take that 3% every year.
Well, yeah, it seems like it would. You'd do it just to be
safe. Or lose it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what it might do.
All right. House Bill 73 allows community college to add credits to their offerings, and actually would open the door for CWI, CSI, North Idaho College to go basically from two-year colleges to four-year college.
Right. And I don't know everything there is to know about this particular bill, but it's kind of scary because it involves the county. The county pays a lot of money for the community colleges. Now, if they change that to 4 years, are we going to be responsible for funding that?
Double your...
Yeah, I mean it doesn't make sense. So we're really concerned. As far as I know, I'm not going to support something like that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Talking with Ada County Commissioner Jim Tibbs. It's 9:15.
This is Idaho Talks Live today at 1. Listen to Savage on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back. Ada County Commissioner Jim Tibbs is with us. KBOI rewards code Senate, S-E-N-A-T-E, Senate. Go to 670kboi.com. I know it's just go to kboi.com, and they're in today's 5,000 rewards points.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Got an election coming up on the 14th of March, one that you tried to sneak in on us in the dark of night.
Not us. We just get to pay for it.
Right. Oh, like everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, it's one of those amazing kind of mid-year elections, March 14th. There's a number of initiatives that are on the ballot. Most of it's school district related.
Right.
The school district for Boise School District, $172.5 million bond. West Ada School District, 10-year, $160 million bond. CUNA Joint School District, 20-year, $40 million. And CUNA Joint School District, $5 million. I don't know why they're so low.
Yeah. Nobody lives out there.
Yeah. It seems to be education is the theme. So it depends on how successful these are. And you could be getting some additional assessments on your tax notices. So we'll see.
Study up and vote.
Yeah, it's important. Usually there's a low voter turnout for this. I mean,
yes.
Strategically, they plan them for this time of the year because the people that support them usually go out and vote.
Everybody's in a stupor in March. I don't care.
Yeah. No football, let's go vote.
Yeah. meeting last night to talk about, it was a public hearing, actually, to talk about the Dry Creek development. And it seems that we don't have a definitive plan yet. Is that correct?
No. I mean, what happened was that this is a text, what they call a text plan amendment. Mm-hmm. This project was approved in 2006. Some modifications 2010, something we inherited. There's been a change in developers. And so what's happened is that the developer has he's proposed a major modification, actually cutting the number of homes in half, down from 3,500 down to 3,000 homes.
Right.
The amount of commercial space from 900 and some 100,000 square feet to under 100,000 square feet. Really trying to, the presentation seemed to focus on, we want to make this, it's a planned community, we want to make this real nice homes and, you know, pretty big lots, you know, acre lots, but they want to try to retain as much as they can of that rural agricultural
nice
piece of our culture. Really, really good at, you know, this is a much better plan than the original plan. So the public hearing room was packed with people, a lot of testimony. Someone in support, some not, and some folks kind of in the middle. They folks that were concerned about losing that agricultural piece of our community, and it is. I mean, it is that if it's privately owned land and people can develop it, as long as they obey all the codes, ordinances, laws, people need to be able to do what they want to do with their land. And it doesn't always make people happy. But, you know, some of the testimony, we even had somebody show up in an elk costume and carrying a sign, which is the first time I've seen an elk carry a sign, by the way.
Yeah.
And so he, I don't know if he actually testified or not.
Bleated or whatever else. noise they make.
It was really interesting, about 3 hours long. We tabled it because at 4:30, the deadline's 5 o'clock to submit any additional exhibits. And at 4:30, an organization came in and dropped a couple of hundred pages of exhibits on us. And so we wanted to have a chance to look at those exhibits as well as, kind of consider what all the testimony. And we're going to make a decision next Tuesday, 9 o'clock, in the public hearing room.
Excellent. Deadline to apply for 2017 property tax exemptions, April 17th at 5 o'clock. So
that's really important. You don't want to miss that. Because we'll always get people calling us saying, I sent it in that morning. You didn't get it yet. Or I sent it in the day before. Don't wait until the last minute.
Exactly.
If you're going to apply for a tax exemption, get it in early.
And they don't carry over.
No, you have to do it every year.
Yeah, every year. Every year. Yes.
Every year you have to do it.
Commissioner? Jim Tibbs has been our guest. Thanks for stopping
Thank
by
you.
This morning.
Thank you.
Enlightening us on what's happening in Ada County.
Yes. Lots of stuff.
Katie, thank you.
Thanks, boys.
All right. KBOI News Time, 9:26. We'll be back after a news break at the bottom of the hour.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 3, listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time is 9:35. I want to thank the guests we've had in the past hour. Kelly Packer from the Idaho State Legislature, Representative Kelly Packer, also Marv Hagedorn, Senator Marv, and we had Commissioner Jim Tibbs from Ada County the past half hour.
We talked earlier today about businesses across the country closing for the day without immigrants today.
And
basically, they said one of the things that the legislators will notice is restaurant service in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, that's probably a good point. What percentage of people do you think will take part in this? Because I can't imagine that every employer in the country would be terribly keen on just letting people go when they feel like it.
Yeah. The shops and restaurants closed in solidarity, but it doesn't say how many.
Yeah.
Others brace for a possible shutdown for lack of enough employees. As a day without immigrants unfolded to underscore how much migrants form the lifeblood of the country's economy and social structure. Now, you also mentioned this morning that women are being urged to do the same thing, stay home from work on March 8th.
On March 8th, it's if you participated in the Women's March the day after the presidential inauguration, they are urging you to, you know, protest again, this time on March 8th, by simply not going to work. You know, take a sick day, call in sick, whatever you're allowed, or whatever you can get away with. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course, I made the joke this morning. I said, feel free and participate in this if you don't really necessarily need your job. But, I guess I would hope that some employers would go along with this, but I'm sure some of them would just say, no, this is stupid. Let's not do this. Let's go to work.
Yeah. Immigrants in Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, Austin, Texas, where Natalie lives, and other major U.S. cities plan to stay home from work and school. They're also boycotting school today as part of a strike. Demonstrators also plan a march at the White House at noon. Now, we're looking at a picture of the White House right now, and noon is, 22 minutes away. I don't see anybody.
Yeah.
Do you?
Well, not yet.
Yeah. Coming on the heels of roundups of undocumented immigrants nationwide, organizers urged illegal residents as well as undocumented ones to participate in the boycott in response to President Trump's crackdown on immigration.
Isn't it funny that in some sentences, it's really depending on who comes up with it, there's legal and then the opposite of legal is undocumented.
Yeah.
Now I could go in. I could go in and rob a store and say I made an undocumented purchase, but I don't think they'd let me get away with that.
An undocumented withdrawal.
Yeah,
yeah. Among the White House actions, rankling protesters are plans to build a border wall, install a temporary immigration ban on nationals from certain Muslim majority nations, which has been held up in court, boost patrol agents to curb illegal immigration, and strip federal funding from sanctuary cities that limit cooperation with immigration agents.
So this would be a protest against actually upholding the law that we already have.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, exactly. And as you said earlier, the government threatening to withhold money from California is pretty unlikely, since California sends more money to the federal government.
Yeah.
Than the federal government sends to California. I'm looking at a sign that says, due to the immigration strike, Zavino, which is a restaurant, will not be open 2/16/17. We will reopen with normal hours tomorrow. We apologize for inconvenience. From doctors to dishwashers, immigrants are integral to daily life in the U.S. That's a tweet from Janet Marguia, President and CEO of the National Council of La Raza, as she praised Spanish-American chef Jose Andres' decision to close his Washington, D.C. restaurants. David Searle, owner of Tequila's restaurant in Philadelphia, also plans to participate. And there are several here which really mean nothing. And I'm not going to read the names of them. Sweet Green Salad Chain, closing 18 stores. None of these seem to
be in this area.
Have any effect on the Idaho?
Well, and I think the main group they're trying to hit is Washington D.C.
Davis Museum at Wellesley College in Massachusetts is going to remove or shroud all artwork created or provided by immigrants through February 21st. In New Mexico, the state with the largest percentage of Hispanic residents in the nation, school officials are worried hundreds of students would stay home. We have not seen anything to indicate that, and New Mexico's in the same time zone we are.
But again, it's supposed to happen. Is it supposed to happen at 10?
Well, it's supposed to happen all day. It's supposed to be.
Oh, okay.
The march on the White House is at noon Eastern, which is 10 o'clock our time. So, a lot of rhetoric, a lot of stuff on the internet about it. haven't really seen
much participation.
Much
yet,
participation,
anyway,
yeah. And in fact, CNN showing.
Well, and again, this is the kind of
Ryan.
This is the kind of protest, and I'm all for protest. Yeah. You know, this is America. You're
absolutely.
You're allowed to protest if you don't like something. You aren't allowed to throw a brick through a window. There was a guy. What was it? We were talking about the guy that said. I was out protesting, and suddenly I realized that I had this urge to throw a rock through a window.
Yeah,
so I decided to go home, and I recommended better have your key in case you still have the urge by the time you get home.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But, you know, just that aside, I just wonder how many employers would say, okay, well, I respect your right to protest and skip work today, and how many employers would just say, here's the deal. I need you to work, and that's what I pay you for. And if you're not here, I don't make any money. And this isn't my protest, or, you know, I don't want to participate. So what am I supposed to do?
Well, I think at that point in time, you have to make a choice, right?
I would imagine so.
If you're one of the protesters and if you're a business owner. And I see President Trump has just announced he will hold a news conference at 12:30. Eastern time, which is less than an hour from now.
Mm-hmm. 47 minutes away.
And I would imagine it probably would at least partially
have something to do with that.
Have something to do with the immigration.
Well, yeah, I mean, he doesn't tend to shy away from any topic.
No.
So I'm sure he'll talk about it, especially.
Just checked his Twitter feed. He hasn't tweeted
and
anything yet.
And it's a news conference, so I imagine he'll take questions.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody's bound to ask him about that.
Yeah. So in Phoenix, I'm familiar with Phoenix, Barrio Cafe, Barrio Urbano, and Barrio Cafe Gran Reserva are all closed. These Barrio Cafes, very, very good.
Mm.
The chef is Silvana Salcido Esparza, and she's a good one, and those are good restaurants. Mm. So she's, but she's the owner.
Well, and here in town, it's not really an immigrant thing, but there are high school kids who have said they will probably walk out of class at some point today.
And,
you know, and Dan Holler from
the State House, right?
Dan Holler from the Boise School District said that here's the deal: a walkout is actually not a bad thing if you have a note from your parents saying you have permission to do it. If you don't have that, you will be considered truant and will probably end up, joining the Breakfast Club.
Yep, you'll be in here on Saturday morning, wondering what to do. KBOI News Time 9:45. All right, we are back. KBOI News Time 9:48. Let's go to the phone, Steve of Boise. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, guys. You know, there seems to be just, I guess my question is, what draws people to this country from other countries?
Chance for a better life?
Yeah, capitalism? Freedom? I mean, those are two things that kind of go
hand. I think
the
freedom of religion. Capitalism, chance for to better yourself.
A lack of sanctioned political killing, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so how do they protest? By going against those two things, and particularly the capitalism. You know, it's the dollar that really makes this country go. It's the explosion in our industrial quality or, industrialism that really made us have a middle class, and it's that middle class that really draws people here. You know, everybody's looking for the American dream.
Okay, so so you're a business owner. You have a lot of immigrants working for you, and they want to take the day off today and demonstrate. What do you do?
You know, I say fine. I'll find somebody that can do the work, because you either shut your business down in the name of anti-capitalism, or you continue with people that want to work. I mean, they have the option to walk off the job and do their own thing.
Okay. Next, part two of the same question.
Okay.
On March 8th, all the women in your office want to march off and do the same thing. What do you do?
Goodbye.
Seriously.
Seriously, if this kind of protest interferes, you've got the weekends if you want to protest. But that's the whole thing. They're trying to stop the capitalism by these little protests. I mean, it's just a discontent bunch of people that aren't happy with the way things are. Well, if this protest is going to change things and make it better for you, so be it.
But these organized by special interest groups?
I believe they are. I really do. And, you know, the media seems to be in cahoots with this, and they publicize these things. Most of this stuff,
you know what, though, Steve? I have seen nothing about the immigration thing on any, and we have TVs up, and they're on constantly. There has been nothing on Fox, CNN, or CNBC this morning at all. Not one word.
No, but, I mean, it's a cumulative effect. And today they're you know, doing their protest thing.
But
so
there's no
the
coverage of it.
Seems to be.
There's no coverage.
Is that because there's no protest going on?
I have no idea. We were looking at the pictures they have of the White House, and there's supposed to be
people gathering
at the White House at noon, which is 8 minutes from now. And we didn't see anybody.
I saw something on Facebook a little bit ago about France being in turmoil. Have you seen that?
No, have not.
Okay. Well, I was just, you know, it's interesting. The world's an awful big place, and we don't get to see everything at once. But we used to, you know, this instant news has its good and bad.
Yeah. All right, got to move on. We got another caller. Let's go to, thank you. Let's go to David. David, good morning.
I'm just going to be quick. I am all rioted and picking it out, guys. If we're just a few months into this, I don't know what we're going to do for the next 4 years. That's my comment of the day.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. Yeah.
Well, based on the last 3 weeks, we're going to watch a lot of TV.
Yeah. And here's the deal. Here's the deal, David. I'll join with you and we'll start a sign-making company. Huh? Legible signs, we'll call it. You'll be able to read these on TV from half a mile away. Legible signs.
Yesterday, we talked a little bit about that.
I don't mind people protesting. Mind them rioting.
The woman that was carrying the sign that said, you know, as a woman, I wish I had the same rights as a gun.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, okay, so you don't want to be allowed in public buildings or parks, or you don't want to be able to go to Canada or Australia or England at all. And, you know, there was a whole list of things that a gun can't do that a person can. So,
yeah, not a well-thought-out sign.
Yeah. Jeremy Amarsting says, morning, so are the drug dealers and mules going to take a day off too? Okay, no meth or pot in the U.S. today. Good. My guess is no, because they're kind of usually in business for themselves.
Yep. Yeah, they got no... well, I guess they do have people to answer to. I don't know. Not in that subculture.
Oh. Disgruntled Vet says, based on the you know, what we talked about the high school kids walking out,
yeah,
teachers should have a 50% of your grade pop quiz today. Miss it and you fail.
Oh, you're a cold-hearted person.
There we go.
What if your son, man? What if your son said...
Well, it's interesting. Yeah, he's sick today. In fact, he's been just sick as a dog for the last couple of days. Interestingly, they don't have school tomorrow. Or, you know, of course, Saturday or Sunday or Monday. So he's got a few days off anyway. But he was off yesterday and today because he's, you know, been coughing and hacking and throwing up and everything.
He's pretty smart, though. He hooked that onto a four-day weekend.
You
got a future in radio, kid.
Exactly. Yeah, it would have been smart if he weren't so miserable at the moment.
Yeah, but, exactly.
But I told my wife, because, you know, you're supposed to call in and tell the school when your child's not supposed to be there. You know, don't even wait till the next day and send a note. You have to tell them today.
Yep. Been there, done that.
That's more of the way things work now. And you know, I said I was going to tell her something about you know, be sure and let them know that he's just sick.
But I wonder if Cruz is, you know, because
if they're not going to get credit if they walk out, then at least he'll, you know, still get to make up something if he's ill.
I wonder if Cruz's teachers will mentally go, he's not here today.
I wonder if that's why he's not here.
He's not here today.
Well, actually, if they spoke to him on Tuesday, then they'll know, because he went to school on Tuesday. They were having a bunch of celebrations for Valentine's Day, and I don't think he wanted to miss that. And he probably shouldn't have gone to school Tuesday, because he was hacking and coughing that day, too.
Interesting. KBOI News Time, 9:55. Open phones Friday, tomorrow. Plus, it's Minority Friday. We'll have Democrats in as well from 8:30 till 9 o'clock. See you then.